Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. If you have a five-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the air. And go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get access to two bonus episodes a week. This episode is actually sponsored by our Patreon, Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for the beer. He's a friend of Charles Kwan, so that means he bought us a beer. Willie, what are you drinking?
Well, sadly, I'm drinking the Blue Moon Belgian White. I've just been hooked on these.
Why is that sadly? What's sad about that?
I feel like I used to just always be trying different beers and stuff, and it's just like I have a controlled comfort for the show.
I came down with a little bit of a cold, so I'm drinking Jameson and hot tea. All right, let's welcome aboard the SS RLSF our good friend from beyond the Beyond Yacht Rock podcast. It's Hollywood Steve.
Hi, everybody.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm alive.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? I'm not only from the podcast Beyond Yacht Rock, I'm co-authoring a new book about Yacht Rock.
Oh, great.
Published in the spring or summer of 2022.
Oh, okay. So we got a little bit until
that. There's a lot to go in terms of finishing the thing.
Hey, I will say I work on the talk, and pleasant addition to the show was Jerry O'Connell, a big fan of his and everything he's done. And I was wearing my Channel 101 shirt, and he saw it and he was like, "Hey, Channel 101, Yacht Rock." I was like, "What, dude?" I was like, you know, Yacht Rock, you know, Channel 101, that's awesome. And he said, that whole group was way ahead of their times. And I was like, there's me on my shirt.
Did you tell him how many channies you won?
But I think he got busy and didn't hear me pointing out myself. But it was just really cool. I was like, oh fuck yeah, dude, like proud of you guys.
Well, it sounds like when you guys put the book out, you can go on the talk and promote it.
It sounds like I've already been invited to it, and I'm gonna hold you to that.
Oh yeah, I don't mind. suggesting. That's great. Well, I'll get Jerry to suggest it. Right.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, my buddy's got a book.
You remember Yacht Rock, right? Now it's a book.
Just make sure you keep Lyons in check. We don't need him insulting any of the talk hosts.
Can't take him anywhere.
Steve, you've been on the show before. Do you remember your WoW scale? Should we just redo the WoW scale? Or it seems like you were here just before the pandemic, which is like, well, it's over a year ago now. But
yeah, it's all a blur to me. I have no idea when I was on.
Yeah, we could. I think we should do a quick one.
Okay, let's do a quick one. The WoW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. I will give you your score at the end, so don't worry about that. But if you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the WoW scale?
I'm ready. I'm always ready to be Wade.
WoW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, no, and no.
All right. Second question. Do you believe in ghosts?
Not really. I mean, I could change my mind if I saw something, but I've never seen anything that I know of.
Hey, third question. What are your thoughts on Bigfoot?
It's a terrific Halloween costume.
Of a mythical or factual being?
a mythical being.
Okay. Question number four. What do you think of psychics?
I'm a skeptic. Not saying it can't exist or never has existed, just I've never seen it. I don't put a lot of stock in, like, I want to go to this psychic that rents office space in a building and get a reading.
Yeah.
That comes from her reading my social cues or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Fifth and final question. Are you superstitious?
I can be, because I'm a control freak and I want to overestimate my influence on what happens to me. Feels safer that way.
So, okay, because you're a control freak, you like to let go of some of that control?
No, like, you know, like if you're watching a sports game and your team is doing well, you don't want to move off the couch until that luck has run out, that kind of
thing. Got it. Okay, yeah. Well, Steve, you're a straight up zero.
Can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
That's funny. Is that three zeros in a row?
Yeah, we've had a string of zeros lately. I don't know what's going on, man.
Last week, Jeremy was a zero.
Last week, Jeremy spoke, and he was a zero.
Mash his teeth and bit the recess, the whatever.
Recess lady's breasts.
Yeah,
that's what it was. How can I forget?
And then the week before that, George Edelman was a zero. Wow, crazy.
Steve, you're a big music guy, and since we did the Wow Scale so quickly, I want to get into Pearl Jam. Do you like Pearl Jam?
I do, up to a point. I think their first album is great. It's a classic. The next two have some good stuff on them, and I just kind of lost track after that.
Yeah. Like, what, Yield, I think?
Yeah, they took a while to release that one, and so they kind of lost. The times changed before that album came out. So when it was released, it was kind of like, does this album work for the times?
When you guys were in school and like Pearl Jam and Nirvana were out, did it feel like you had to pick one or did you think you could like both?
Oh, you could definitely like both. It was just kind of, which one did you like better? And I think for a while, Pearl Jam was kind of on the winning side of that equation. It was kind of a punk rock type band, where Pearl Jam was more of they're more of a classic arena rock type band, except that they were punks at heart and didn't really want to be that.
Yeah.
And so where they lost me was, like, you know, their first album has all this like epic, well-crafted, memorable material on it. And then they're like, no, we can't do that. We gotta be more punk. We gotta be more like loose and spontaneous, and we got to not craft our stuff so well. And then they just kind of stopped doing what they were best at, for me.
Yeah. I was always like Team Pearl Jam, but I think history has proven that Nirvana, and also they had the benefit of suicide, right? Like they could not progress into an area where we would dislike them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. They skipped the decline phase.
Yeah. You could say that Foo Fighters, though, it could be that.
You know, it's easy to mix in another album, but I'm like, yeah, between in my circles, we listened to all of it. But in my room, I played the Faith No More Angel Dust album more.
that's a good
one. Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's great.
But I did love all three albums at the same time. You know, like for some reason, I was home alone a lot during that time. I don't know where my siblings or my parents were. And I remember busting out the tennis racket, doing air guitar to it, like pretend like I was performing. And I don't know shit about guitar. I can't even hear the guitar in most songs. And my hands going the wrong way, you know.
Which was the hit on? I mean, they didn't really have a hit on Angel Dust, but what was like the standout on Angel Dust?
They did have one hit. It was Midlife Crisis.
Yeah, I remember Midlife Crisis getting played on MTV a lot.
It's a midlife crisis. Remember that one? What the in here? Take the dog.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. That's a good song. Yeah, I do like that one.
In the security. Midlife crisis. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
I don't know why. I'm glad that this didn't happen, but I, you know, when you picture doing karaoke, there's so many, like, I don't want to say karaoke standards, but like I don't feel like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and Faith No More ever really made it into the karaoke realm. Sure, you'll hear one occasionally, but for the most part, nobody really does those. Do you guys agree with that?
I feel like, yeah, because it's more, karaoke is more like poppy, you know, like you don't want to be singing like Rape Me. Like people are trying to like have a good time, you know.
Yes. Also, it's hard to sing like Kurt Cobain without destroying your throat. And like people I knew who wanted to do like the Eddie Vedder grunge voice, they would just sing Creed because it was funnier to do Creed.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Like they want to do that. They just want to go full on comedy with it.
What about Stone Temple Pilots?
Yeah, I always think that they were underrated. What are your thoughts, Steve?
I don't know. They're kind of under and overrated. Like I never liked them as much as Pearl Jam. Like it was, like they were trying too hard to sound like all those other bands and write the same kind of nonsense poetic lyrics, but they weren't quite as evocative with it, I guess. But you know,
yeah,
like one of those bands where I don't mind hearing them on the radio, but I might switch the station to see if I can find something better.
Yeah, I always see them closer to country music.
Really? Like for Interstate Love Song? Or
Like I love that song, but I'm like, I always felt like, yeah, it was just more of a progressed country.
Does that make sense as a music reviewer, Steve? Can you dissect that and make it make sense?
No. Well, here's the thing about the thing I associate with country music, now that I'm middle-aged, and I want to hear songs about being middle-aged, country is the only place to find that. And what I like about country as opposed to like alternative and indie rock is that the lyrics fucking make sense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm mostly thinking of even an Interstate Love Song, this style of guitar used for the main riff, you know, it's like a little more. Yeah, a little twangy, and you know, definitely more of the newer rock country. We definitely got too much Garth Brooks in Loveland.
Yeah, I grew up in Garth Brooks country.
The thunder rolls.
I don't miss it.
All right. Well, we've done our music portion. Willie, what are we talking about today?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, The Great Reset. Brought to you by the World Economic Forum. Is the globalization of the world ready to be globalized? there's a few kind of conspiracies mixed into this one. So it's a little confusing. We'll have to like separate those a little more. But ultimately, this is a group of billionaires getting together trying to convince us that they can save us. So let's get into that, see if we can crack this code tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Oh, wow. That was all your People's Court intro?
Yeah.
You just lost the voice like a quarter of the way through that. Okay. So, well, do you want to, because there's like different sort of variances of this, do you want to just clarify which one we should start talking about first? Or are we going to be muddy the whole time?
Right. I kind of want to just explain what we're not going to get into real quick, because there's one that you can't even kind of look up anymore. And I remember seeing it back then. But one idea is that, and this is definitely on the conservative side, the Great Reset is all of the corporations basically created the vaccine so that they could take control of the future because of how our lives change because of that. And I'm like, well, we definitely don't want to get into that realm. I just want to point that out because that's not the Great Reset we're doing.
Fair enough.
The World Economic Forum, and I'm just reading Wiki, international non-governmental organization based in Cologne. What's C-O-L-O-G-N-Y? So it's like cologne, but with a Y at the end.
C-O-L-O-G-N-Y? Yeah, I don't know. Cologne?
Is it cologne or is it Cologne? I've never put a Y on the end.
Is it the same as like Cologne, France or Cologne, Germany? Or is it a different town with a slightly different spelling?
It's in Switzerland. It was founded in 1971 by Klaus Schwab. Mostly funded by its 1,000 member companies, typically global enterprises with more than $5 billion US dollars in turnover. So it's like, you know, it's just a group of billionaires that get together and since 1971. And, you know, now it's huge. They have a meeting. I think it's every year, the Davos agenda, Davos week.
Oh, that's
them. Heard of that.
Yeah.
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 And so they recently released a video with Prince Charles telling us we have the opportunity to create a new sustainable identity, investing in nature as the engine of our economy, evolve economic model, putting people and the planet at the heart of global valued creation. Nature must be at the heart. We need a sustainable future and paradigm shift our companies. So when you guys hear that stuff coming from Prince Charles, I'm too negative about this. How do you guys feel about those thoughts coming from the royal family?
Well, he's the mouthpiece of like this organized. He's not speaking on behalf of the royal family, right? He's like speaking on behalf of all these billionaires.
Yeah.
I only ask that because that changes. Like if it's on behalf of the royal family, I'm like, fuck you guys. Like, I don't give a shit about you. Like, you're nothing. I don't acknowledge your power in any way. You know, I don't think you really do anything. But I'm also not English, so I don't really know how that shit works. But as a mouthpiece for billionaires, it sounds like a bunch of fucking word salad, man. It's like, what buzzwords can we put in here? Sustainable environment. Like, they're not saying anything. They said a bunch of shit without saying anything. Are they just saying like, let's cut down less trees? Just say that. You want to switch to like a hydrogen car or something, or an electric car? Okay, say that. Like, what are you saying?
Yeah,
they're saying we're gonna say some vague general things that sound good to everybody and then not change a single thing that we're doing to destroy the planet.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, as long as we still have our billions of dollars,
we don't want to give up any of the money that we're making off of the way things are now.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I assumed we would all be on the same page as this. And
it's hard not to be cynical when a bunch of billionaires are talking down to you. Like,
yeah,
you guys have never helped anyone except for yourselves. Like, you don't become a billionaire unless you're the most selfish person in the world.
Hey, who better to fix the world?
Yeah, you have to actively screw so many other people to become a billionaire.
Yeah.
It's because you have to, in order to become a billionaire, you have to become a millionaire 1,000 times.
I respect billionaires more than the royal family because they're not making their own billions. They're all the same billions.
But also as a billionaire, you have to get to half of a billion and be like, nope, I want more.
Yeah.
I want to do this again.
I want this times two. I have more money than me or the next 10 generations of my family could ever spend, but I want more.
I saw a video today. I don't know how or why, but it was Paris Hilton's mom and she was selling stuff on like a QVC channel sort of thing. And I was just like, what, who's buying stuff from a billionaire? Like, what? Why are you trying to sell me on anything?
Yeah.
I buy stuff from a billionaire every day. I order something off of Amazon.
It's true.
I still can't stop doing because it's so easy.
Yeah.
All
you got to do to even that out is just return a couple things every now and then, because then then the shipping and the return costs and the, you know, just return something every now and then.
I mean, it really just order something you want two of, but just order one and then say it didn't get there. They don't care. They have
do your all part.
The money in the world.
In the same vein, I drive to work and I get on the freeway and I've been seeing this sign recently and it says, you know, extreme drought, do your part, conserve water. And it's the most infuriating sign to start off my day because I'm like, this is targeted at people that don't use that much water compared to companies. So you know, my whole rant of everything is the globalization of the world is letting companies and billionaires get together and figure out how to get us to vote on the things that make them money. I feel I'm more scared of billionaires getting together than countries, because at least they have more of a a governing body, hopefully a checks and balances in place, you know, of
I honestly, it's like we said, I don't know why I would ever take my cues from a psychopath who has $1 billion, much less a group of them working together.
And so Davos week is they used to do it, you know, basically all the billionaires get together and they meet all week and try to figure out how to save the world. And now it's this year, it was on Zoom, maybe not Zoom. It was just online. And the theme that they keep repeating is you will own nothing and you will be happy.
Because they're going to buy up all the real estate so that we have to rent from them. They're going to buy up all the water to control that resource. They're going to buy it's going to go back to feudalism where a few people own everything and everyone else just pays them rent.
What is the positive spin? That's like the most dystopian catchphrase I've ever heard. How is that a positive? What are they actually saying by saying that?
I haven't figured it out. And my brain says, oh, maybe, you know, recently, I think it was even last week, we did the episode on what Facebook is becoming. And when I think of virtual reality and augmented reality, I'm like, oh, are they basically saying that owning things in the digital world is better because you're not actually having physical things that like are ruining the planet? It's a paradigm shift of, oh, you can own things that won't kill the planet, you know, and I could be wrong on that. It's just my interpretation. And I'm like, the idea of the digital world being more valuable than the physical world because it's better for the planet.
So we'll all just live in empty shacks, but then we can put on our goggles and have like really nice stuff to look at.
Right. I mean, like how close are we to any dystopian future?
No, you know, we're a few decades away.
I think so. Yeah. I've given up.
I have very little hope.
So this Great Reset, like, talk more about that. Like, outside of their buzzword, like, let's be friendly to the environment, like, what are these ad wizards coming up with?
Well, they are, this is their quotes, improving the state of the world by engaging business, political, academic, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industry agendas.
Well, my global agenda is no more billionaires. What are they going to do for that?
I mean, that's something that like people have been saying, we've been saying, is like, how do we enact that? We've got to, like, it's almost like, you know, like, no more from now on. So like, because it's going to be like anything else. Like if you have a billion, you don't have to give it back, but it's like, okay, no more after now. But how do we get?
Well, that gives them even more power because they have a bunch of billions of dollars.
I know, but it makes me go like, well, yeah, I think that the next uprising is going to have to be taking some of them down, right?
I don't know.
How come that's not happening?
How are you going to take down Jeff Bezos? Like what does that look like? How would you physically do that?
Break up his company, tax the shit out of him, and unionize all of his workplaces.
Yeah. I mean, that's enough. Like, just paying the fair share of taxes is a great start.
Yeah.
We don't have the money to bribe any politicians into enacting that agenda.
Right, exactly. Like, that's the problem. Like, he owns the government, so it'll never happen. And then if we ever do try to make that happen, everyone who's like the boogeyman of socialism, they're going to be like, oh, that's socialism. I'm not going to do that.
In our times, you think anyone will ever kidnap a billionaire? I know they've all got security, and I'm not suggesting anything, but I'm like, do you think we'll ever see that?
I think we'll see it happen to politicians before you see it happen to billionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still mostly heroes to the dumb world.
I think it would be very entertaining if a billionaire got kidnapped, but I don't know what would come out of that. Like, whoever kidnapped him would probably be selfish and just be like, give me $100 million and you
I
can
want a helicopter.
Free.
Yeah. A human sized portion of Kobe beef.
I want free Amazon Prime for life. I'll still pay for the products. I just don't want to pay for the Amazon Prime anymore.
Okay. Let me get into some questions, right? Well, so it's weird because so between the right wing version, which is what was that?
They're on to us, man. I live on a busy street.
Was that the clown car pulling up with all these buffoon politicians? These clowns in Washington?
They're going to take me to re-education camp now. They're going to do a great reset on my brain.
I mean, you guys know what the Davos thing is, so you know who's there. You know, like, everyone's there. Putin, Bill Gates, whatever. Leaders and...
Everyone who's anyone.
Yeah, right? No matter what world you live in, these people are going to get together, right? Even if it's just a facade, even if they are trying to actually, like, make the world better.
They're going to try to make the world better in a way that does not, you know, that allows them to maintain their extremely elevated status. They want to figure out if they can keep the world, you know, if they can keep their wealth and power and whatnot in a world that is going to be very different than the one we know right now.
Yeah, exactly. Can they sustain their wealth in the next version of the world? Because you know, it's great right now where the like people aren't going back to work and the companies are blaming them. Hey, we don't have burgers because nobody wants to work. It's like, no, nobody wants to work for you. You know, after taking this break, we've seen that we're all getting screwed. And so like that is a weird new aspect of the future. Like the value of what we do has been raised and what we're worth.
For now. But I don't know how these people can sustain. Like, so a lot of that is Bitcoin, right? Or just crypto in general. Like, there's a lot of new millionaires just based on like Doge and fucking SHIB and shit like that. But that stuff is like unsustainable because, like, you know, you read the article about the one guy making like $1 billion on Shiba Inu, and it's like, yeah, good luck fucking cashing that out. Like, how are you ever going to get that? Yeah, on paper, you're a billionaire. Just try to cash out $100 million right now. See what happens.
Yeah.
So I'm a little skeptical about a lot of the crypto stuff. And I also think like these people who aren't going back to work right now, like eventually they're going to run out of savings or whatever, and they're going to have to go back to work. Like, I don't think that like, I think it's just kind of a waiting game between like these corporations and the people who don't want to work for less or for whatever the current rate is. Like it's got to break at some point, right? One way or the other. Like how are people just not working? I can't just not work.
I know. I've been running on not working that much until recently, and it's just like, but definitely burnt through savings and. Making me go like, yeah, maybe I should get a job where I work more hours.
I think this Davos thing is just it's just a pacifier every year. It's just like, oh yeah, we'll cut carbon emissions by like 5% by the year 2050. And then everyone goes, oh good, look, they're doing it. And then like, they don't hit those benchmarks anyway. And just as long as they say they're going to, then people are like, okay, cool. I'll go back to, not giving a shit. And I don't blame these people who don't give a shit. It's hard for me to give a shit. Like apathy is like a warm blanket, you know? I hate thinking about this stuff. I would much rather be writing jokes than thinking about how the world's going to end.
Yeah, especially when people that you know can't have a holiday meal together because of like one little difference, you know? And it's like, well, there's a whole world out there. You just can't make everyone happy. And, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So it makes me say anytime anybody's doing anything like this, yeah, the whole thing is just a facade. Because as soon as you try to start fixing anything for somebody, there's a whole nother group of people that it's actually ruining things for them.
But it takes so little for these people to feel like they're actually the heroes. I mean,
yeah,
you know, most of these people are probably reading Ayn Rand and going, yeah, that's me. I'm a hero. I'm an uber capitalist hero. I'm the good guys. I make all this possible for all these other people. I'm an inspiration to them. Like all it takes is some like superficial gesture towards something that they know they ought to be doing so that they can tell themselves that they're not the problem.
We took down the cab monopoly and now we're screwing people over.
The thing that drives me crazy is if this were an actual free market, instead of, like, you know, like you said, the people in power just paying all the politicians to, like, keep the status quo, then there would be more, like, Teslas and stuff like that. Like, Tesla, you know, and I'm talking about the car company, not the legend that we all know and love. Like, that, yeah, he already had, like, $1 billion or whatever. But, like, he was like, fuck it, I'm going to make electronic cars because there is a market for them and people want them. And now it's, like, you know, big or whatever. And you still got all the dumb rednecks who are, like, rolling coal on them and stuff because they think that, like, anything good for the planet is for pussies. But, like, my point is, like, we have to continue our dependence on fossil fuels because that's my business model. If these people were real businessmen, they would see the angles of what the future holds and start a new subdivision of that business and be ready for when that change comes. Yeah, instead, yeah. They're just kicking and screaming and, like, fighting against it and doing everything, probably spending more money to fight the change than they would to just, like, launch a whole new, like, industry of, you know, clean energy or whatever you want to fucking say, just so that they don't have to do any of that. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, what, why don't you just start a new thing? Like, why aren't all these car companies, what they kind of are now, they kind of all have an electronic car, but, like, it took way too long. Wasn't the first electronic car in, like, the 90s? And then they killed it. There's that Who Killed the Electronic Car doc. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was earlier, but yeah.
So it's like, yeah, great. Now we have electronic cars. It only took, like, 40 years for that to happen, like 30 years. Like,
and, you know, like the light bulb where they knew that they had these ones that could last for 8 years, but they thought they would just kill the industry. So they didn't, like, let them out there. It's like all these companies are still afraid of guys. I think the electric cars could be I think they could be a lot better, but they can't make them too good because then you got to buy a car every 5 years.
Yeah, like, that wasn't that what killed the Studebaker, is they were so well made people didn't have to buy them anymore. Is that an urban legend? I don't know.
I mean, that could be true. But it's like, so you see that the world is going, like, oh, global warming, we've got to do something, or climate change, we've got to do something about it. And you're Exxon Mobil, like, so start a new company that's some other fucking thing.
What gets me is, like, why don't companies like Exxon Mobil and Shell branch out into renewable energy so that they can corner the market on that?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Instead of just funding all this climate denial misinformation shit. And bribing Joe Manchin and shit.
Yeah, 20 years ago when we all started, like, talking about climate change, they could have been like, oh, let's get ahead of this and see what we can do. Instead, they just spent a shitload of money to, like, put out a bunch of false information about it. And I just don't understand that. I don't understand these business people. Like, I thought they were supposed to be entrepreneurs, and they're just like, they're just... I guess it's because these companies are so old and they've been handed down so many times that these people running them aren't really businessmen. They're just, like, I don't know, fucking crony capitalists.
Yeah, they're like the business version of legacy admissions at Ivy League schools.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what they are, right? It's the same as, like, you know, Jonathan Landis. It's like... Oh, this guy's father was good at running GM, so I guess he can run GM now? Like, it's so stupid,
right?
The GM is a hereditary monarchy, so now he's the king.
Yeah.
But yeah, it drives me crazy that, like, Bezos, how do you say it? Bezos? He's got more money than small countries, and he just refuses to, like, do anything with it. Like, he could start a million companies.
You're gonna go to space,
right?
It'll inspire everybody, because billionaires inspire everybody. It'll inspire,
yeah, that's what
everybody.
We need to go to space right now.
We need to go to space in a giant dick-shaped rocket
hero.
Then we need to establish a colony on Mars for all the rich people to go to once the Earth becomes uninhabitable,
right? Like, Elysium was pretty spot on.
Elysium looks cool, though. I would hate to live on Mars. Because what are they going to terraform Mars? Are they just going to build buildings big enough where it's fun there? It looks awful.
Whenever I picture people building stuff on Mars and planets where you need to like have an air shield to space, I just imagine rocks in the ground having holes in them. You put a bubble and you put it on the ground. Well, the ground still is going to let all the air out.
You don't think they figured out foundations? They're just going to put it right on top of the rock.
I mean, you're right, but I'm just like, it just seems like we're so far from building an actual sustainable building on another planet.
Well, that's going to be easier than getting billionaires to give up anything on Earth.
Yeah. Believe me, the billionaires will spend the money to build a bunch of shit on Mars before they pay their fair share of taxes.
Yeah.
Though, it'll become a write-off. It'll be like, this is the future of civilization, so you can't charge us for any of this.
Before they act to make sure that the middle of the planet doesn't become completely uninhabitable, sending millions of climate refugees north and south, where they will be met by increased border security in all of the white countries, majority white countries.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much fucking genocide in the next century.
Like I said before, I'm team snap. Like I really do think that like half of the population should go. I think that would be fun.
Which half though?
Who cares?
So you're George Carlin on this issue.
Honestly, if I'm a part of the half that gets snapped away, I'm fine. I don't need to be here. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll continue talking about, I guess, just the most depressing shit in the world with our good friend Hollywood Steve.
That's what I love to discuss.
Right? Well, I'm like, yeah, I'll try to come up with some a positive spin on it. Like, what do we want to see happen?
We want to see billionaires hanging by the rafters, man.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that on the other side of the break.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing? Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
All right. You got some stuff to say?
I mean, without... My thing is, I think that I don't need to get into any more of the Great Reset, right? I'm like, I feel like we all get it. We all agree. And so tell me if you agree, but like, I'm like, I think maybe we should get into possible either solutions or what we think would help us get out of this. Is that too?
Get out of what?
Just the current state of
crap we find ourselves in.
I don't know. We're not philosophers or anything. Like,
well, the last time we had this level of wealth inequality was the late 1800s, and you know, it was the Industrial Revolution, and capitalism was pretty unregulated then, and it took a bunch of reform movements, decades, to make a dent in to take this and kind of squish it, you know, raise the floor and lower the ceiling somewhat. And the main thing that it took was a robust labor movement to pressure politicians to give people what they want, because they could deliver votes en masse to these people who did what they wanted. I don't know how you do that in this time, because we don't have decades. Like, shit's going down now.
Yeah, the other problem is, like, that was like country by country, you know, and like, so now right. now that there's this globalization of the workforce, like, yeah, you can just outsource it to these poor countries and just pay them less. So,
and you can militarize the police forces, and
yeah,
you know, we really got to get something done before they finish the drone armies.
Right, exactly. And
you know what it needs to be, honestly, because you mentioned, like, what's up with these fucking dorks, Anonymous? Like, I feel like they should be doing more than they're doing. Like, I'm totally on their side, but they're such dorks. First of all, like, they're dorky, their image is dorky. Every time they put out a video or whatever, it's like that Guy Fawkes thing, and he's just like, you will regret when you crossed us. And it's like, all right, chill out a little bit. But, like, also do more stuff. Like, because you mentioned, like, drones and stuff. So, like, isn't the future, like, hacking those things and just taking them down and, like, getting the really smart programmers who aren't billionaires to, like, be on our side?
Yeah, but, like, all these, it's not just that they're dorks, it's that they don't have any ideology, and they're just, it's just like a loose-knit individuals. It's not like a hive mind collective with a defined goal or an ideology or, like, a general mission.
Oh, I'm sure they're arguing over everything.
Yeah.
My take on them is, like, they're doing such a bad job of what you think they intend to do that I'm like, this, it must be a recruitment for Homeland Security. You know, it's like, hey, we're all rebels, like, join us. And then, oh, you join us. Okay. We've entrapped you to, now you're a terrorist. Now you've got to do it for us. Because what they haven't really done anything except make their presence known.
Right. But Hollywood Steve's kind of correct, where it's like, it's almost like Black Lives Matter, where it's just this, like, unorganized sort of just, like, group of people who, like, they don't have a leader. They don't have, like, an ideology. They have, like, they have an idea and they don't know how to pull it off, you know? So it's like
the 99% protests, you know, that had a bunch of people with good intentions and they just had nothing in common except that no common goal.
What it comes down to for me is that labor union membership has declined so much since Ronald Reagan became president that a lot of people who want to organize don't know how to do it. They don't have that experience. They don't have that skill set. They just, you know, it's being lost to so many people because they just don't have access to it.
Yeah.
Which is by design.
Right. Yeah.
And do you think that we're going to end up striking the Hollywood IATSE?
My gut feeling is that this contract will probably be voted down. I went and said that on the news the night the deal was announced. Somebody hit me up on Instagram. Was like, would you like, I see you're an IATSE member. Would you like to comment on the news? I'm like, all right, I'll call this number. I thought they were just hitting up everybody. And then it's like, I'm the only person who bothered to respond. So they put me on TV.
Oh, gosh.
But I think it'll be, I just, you know, I mean, Facebook is not an accurate measure of anything right now, but the chatter on the Facebook groups has been largely negative. And, you know, maybe if it's positive, people, like, don't want to post that or they don't want to invite the argument, but it still seems like there's a lot of no energy coming down on this. And I don't
think
the incident on the set of Rust helps anything in terms of getting it passed. It's just like, is there anything in this agreement that would have prevented that? And the answer is not really.
Yeah, I felt like I thought I was alone, and I'm like, man, this isn't really a good deal. They didn't really do much. And then everyone I talk to agrees with me, even at my work, you know, and it's just like, yeah, the deal we got was behind the times. They didn't check in with anybody. And so I'm like, it's weird because this is the last real, like, and I like that the John Deere, thing was going on too. I'm losing my words.
The John Deere workers voted down their contract and went back on strike.
Yeah.
It wasn't good enough.
Yeah. And I'm like, I think they just assumed that we wouldn't strike because we hadn't been working for so long, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. And they also assumed we wouldn't strike because we never have collectively.
Yeah.
IATSE has never been on strike altogether in the entire 128-year history of the union. But yeah, like when they started negotiating, the IATSE people were like, oh shit, people got to get back to work. They must be hurting. We got to just see what we can get. And the producers association was like, all right, let's really put the fucking screws to them. They're hurting right now. Let's see what we can get. Let's see if we can get them to agree to change the number of, you know, union hours you got to work yearly from 400 to 950 to qualify for the pension, to get one qualifying year for the pension. And they pushed it too far. And the IATSE negotiators were like, this is garbage. Like not even we can sell this to these people. And so then they had to push for the strike authorization vote. And in doing so, they activated a lot of the membership that, and in all the time that was passing too, it went from nobody's working to all of a sudden there's a vaccine and production is ramped back up and everybody's fucking working. And then they can't find people to fill all the jobs that there are. So suddenly we have all this leverage and, you know, labor law, you know, regulates the way negotiations can go pretty tightly, and you can get accused of bad faith bargaining if you go back and then all of a sudden come back with a bunch of new demands. Like they can file a grievance with the National Labor Relations Board for unfair bargaining practices. It's like the only way that we can go back and try to get a better deal is by voting this one down. Basically,
yeah,
like they got everything that they went in asking for because they asked for so little to start out with, because circumstances were different when the negotiations started. And now that the membership has been activated and is like, you know, in voting, in building support for the strike authorization, you know, a lot of there's this cross guild solidarity that there never really has been, because people were, you know, discussing this on Facebook forums and other places and Instagram. And, you know, there's been a lot of cathartic, like, venting about how shitty everyone's lives and jobs have been. And now that that genie is out of the bottle, nobody knows how to put it back in. And so there's been a lot of this, you know, this anger and frustration that's been woken up. And, you know, the strike authorization was basically just to make sure we didn't get screwed. But now that we've won the part where we don't get screwed, people want more, understandably, because like, why did we stick our necks out for this bullshit that we're getting? That's not enough. That's not going to change anything. It's just going to prevent further losses.
Yeah.
I want to know more about you on the news. Did they like come and shoot you, or did you get on like Zoom or
what? No, I got on Zoom.
Okay.
I think somebody was just clicking on like IATSE hashtags on Instagram, and like they posted like, hey, if you want to talk to the news, call this number. So I was like, oh fuck, I got nothing else to do. It's Saturday night. I got no plans.
Was it KCAL or what news was it?
It was I think it was KCBS. It was Channel 2.
That's so cool. Did you record it?
I held my phone up and I took a video of the TV. I don't have like a DVR or anything anymore. I got rid of cable. I just have
like a
TV antenna.
So yeah, I mean, I guess labor unions would be the way to go, huh? To like to sort of like,
because I don't think automation is there yet. If it was, they would have implemented it by now.
Yeah, for sure.
They want to hold it over your head as a threat, but it's like they don't have it yet.
I mean, we've seen it. Like, it's in the McDonald's and shit, and it's nobody uses it. You know, like everybody would rather just go up because it never works. It's like
it's always
like
failing,
three generations behind a fucking like iPhone 6, or I don't even know what iPhones are up to now, but like it's like an iPhone 1, like because they're way too cheap to ever like update all that shit. So like they're totally full of shit with automation when it comes to like when it comes to retail, when it comes to like more factory stuff, like. That's just a shift in jobs, though, right? Because then there's people who have to maintain the automation, you know?
Yeah, theoretically, it'll be fewer people, but, you know, it's... I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like they have much of a plan for how this is going to go, other than we have to make sure that we maintain our wealth and power and status by passively letting everybody else die.
Right.
Yeah, and so the crazy thing about this pandemic is it allowed everyone to take a moment, take a breath to look at their existence. A lot of people are fine being broke instead of working for a shitty job where you're getting screwed
it's a less stressful form of poverty.
Yeah.
Definitely fortunate to be in the unions out here.
I guess. I mean, maybe you guys, but they never done anything for me. The thing about these unions is it's like, okay, yeah, like they, if we didn't have these unions, it's still weird because we still don't get as much as what we used to proportionally. Like these studios are making so much money and we're making less money. So yeah, it's good that we have these unions to sort of like try to keep that up, but like there's just not unions where there needs to be. Like,
and the unions we have are not that militant.
Right.
Oh no, like we you know the only reason why this strike was going to work is because we have the actors, but mostly cuz we had Transpo. I was 100% sure the strike was going to happen because on the show next door they told people from the hall, told the drivers, show up to work on Monday, take your vehicles and block the gate and throw away your keys. And that was a standing order. If the strike happens, go do this. Mm. I was like, holy fuck, dude. Like, you're the only ones taking action. You know, everyone was like, yep, we're ready. We're ready. It's like, if you look, the transpo unions are straight up mafia and in the best way, you know, like
right.
Ask anybody transpo stories from New York, shooting in New York. If they don't like something, they can shut down the show. I only bring that up because it's like, they're the only people that have a sort of power. You know, when I compare it to the whole world, like who has any, I feel like billionaires have always had this fear of losing their power and money. And I'm like, who could stand up to them? We can't even unite on anything. Like I don't know who they think is going to take them down. I don't know what they're afraid of.
Well, they don't think anybody's going to take them. The only thing they think is going to take them down is an uninhabitable planet that they've helped destroy.
That's interesting.
So I've read articles where they're like, you know, they're trying to figure out like, well, once money becomes worthless, once fresh water and food become the main currency of the land, are the people with guns still going to respect us enough to leave us in charge? And it's like, no, they're going to shoot your asses.
Yeah, will they though, or have they been so brainwashed that they think like, because I mean most conservatives will fight for, well, and first off, most gun owners are conservative, and then most conservatives will fight for these corporations over their own self-interest because they've been brainwashed to an extent where they just think that like they're going to all be millionaires at some point. And like, if you take down this corporation, who's to say they're not next? Like, that's what they've been scared into believing. So do you think at that point when people are fighting over water, would that break their brainwash? Would they finally be like, oh shit, like, yeah, these guys need to go.
If you're competing for water, if you're on Jeff Bezos's security force in 30 years, or let's say 50 years, because he's like figured out how to harvest the blood of children to keep himself alive or whatever. Let's just say you're on Jeff Bezos's security force and you've got the guns, and Jeff Bezos is like, bring me the last canteen of fresh water. No, you're not going to fucking bring it to him. You're going to shoot him in the fucking head and drink it yourself.
I mean, that's, yeah. I guess if that's the picture, then yeah. Hopefully it'll happen before that. I don't know, man. Like,
I'm glad to have family in Michigan because it seems like a good place to be, surrounded by fresh water. Even if, yeah, I mean, depending on whether like Nestle buys the rights to the Great Lakes for like $30 or whatever.
I know, man. It's so sad. Our show uses Nestle water, and I'm just like, it feels like such a betrayal.
Fucking evil shit.
My main quick question, if you have a quick answer, is like, how do you see us getting out of this? Are we all just waiting for a savior? Because that's not really going to happen.
I mean, it goes back to your sign saying like, do your part, conserve water. It's just like, that's a helpless notion. Like me taking a 5 minute shower as opposed to a 10 minute shower is not going to do anything. Like, that's bullshit. And so like,
and then you think of how many car companies are out here and they wash their cars every day. And so like, yeah, take a small shower. Look at all these cars you could buy. Go on.
But the point is like, yeah, I'm waiting for a savior because there's nothing I can do. This is why everybody's so, my vote doesn't matter kind of mentality, is it's like, everything we do feels totally hopeless. Like, there's nothing we can do. Like, we can't save the planet by like recycling. They don't even recycle half the shit we put in the recycling. Like, it's not profitable to recycle. So they're just not doing it. So it's like, what are we supposed to do? Like, unless there's a rogue billionaire out there that wants to be like, hey, I'm a person of the people billionaire. I'm a billionaire of the people. Like, let's take down these other billionaires. Here's what we'll do. And he like funds some sort of grassroots kind of like anti-billionaire, anti-corporate thing. Like, there's nothing we can do because the people who are supposed to represent us in government are just, like Steve said, just getting paid off by these corporations. And they don't care because they're all 80 years old anyway. And they're going to be fucking dead in 10 years. So I go back to my default term limits. Get the money out of politics. Like, there's got to be some form of lobbying, but I don't think that it should be funded. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not smart.
I'm not a big fan of term limits, but yeah, something has to happen with lobbying and the system of indirect legalized bribery that the country runs on.
Yeah, and so like
bribery, graft, and insider trading. That's what America runs on.
These billionaires are not going to ever be like, oh, sorry, we'll change. Like, we have to take away their power, and their power is their influence over governments, right? And so as long as they have that, we're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, we're fucked right now.
Yeah.
We get a Democratic president who's like, okay, I'll do like half progressive stuff on behalf of people, and all they got to do is like bribe two senators and it goes away.
Yeah.
I would like to point out that eating the heart of a billionaire will allow you to gain the power that they have. So like, Forget children. They haven't done anything. Eating the heart of a billionaire will get you somewhere.
I'm into that. Like, how many billionaires are there? Do we know?
I don't know. I think it's something like there are 745 in the United States. I feel like I saw that somewhere on online recently.
Oh my gosh, man. It's a big number. It's also small. It's big, though.
So we could get, so let's say 750 people will cut up their hearts. We'll each take a little piece of their heart. Come on now, take it. Take another little piece of my billionaire's heart now, baby.
Then we expropriate their money. We have $745 billion, which is like, we could fund the Pentagon for an entire year that way.
Yeah, well, let's get rid of the Pentagon, first of all.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no way out of it. There's nothing we can do. Are you asking us what we can do? Because there's no way.
Well, it's not necessarily what you can do, but what do you what can anyone do who has,
like, what would it take in general?
You got it right. We're kind of waiting for a billionaire hero, and I feel like someone like
Elon Musk
felt like he was that for people. You know, he's like, I made a car that's electric, and I gave you a battery that you can run your house off of. I'm the hero, you know?
Yeah, but Steve's right. That's just narcissism. That's just him going like,
yeah.
Oh, look what I did. I gave this battery to an African village.
How can you not be a narcissist and be a billionaire? Like, it's impossible.
No, you can't.
So how do we fool them?
We'll just give them awards. We'll just this is what Conan O'Brien did, right? To like meet Bill Cosby and stuff like that. He would just make up an award and then be like, hey, you won this award. Come out here. And then he would just like pick Bill Cosby up in his fucking like 82 like Accord or whatever it was. And like, and that's just like how he got to meet his idols.
What a great, that was I read that in a Playboy article.
I was seeing people on Twitter were joking like, you could get Donald Trump to pass Medicare for all if you just did it in that kind of a way, like give him a statue in every city.
Yeah.
And he will just sign off on Medicare for all for everybody because he's not ideological about his narcissism.
Right, right. Yeah, you could just say like, hey, we got you. You know how you have to like, I don't know if this is true, but you have to pay for your Oscar if you win an Oscar or whatever.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, yeah.
We just do that with Donald Trump. We just say like, hey, man, you won this award, best person in the world. And you get a statue in every town, but all these statues cost, you know, 10 grand. So do you want to accept the award? We'll just need a check. And then you're the best person in the world. Then we just get like all of his money, but his money's fake, right? Like he doesn't even have that money.
Yeah, it is fake.
He probably does now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now for sure he does. He built all of his followers.
This is like the, the Who's Who in America book. You guys ever get approached for that?
Oh, yeah. I used to get those things in the mail.
I'm like, we need to turn that on its head and make up a company that does that for billionaires. It's like, hey,
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a book, and they try to convince you through solicitation that you deserve to be in it. And so you should buy the book so you can see your name in the book of who's important. Like, hey, you got good grades, or you're important, or whatever it is they're trying to sell you on. It's like, hey, you're in the book. Do you want to buy a copy of the book that you're in?
We do that for billionaires, where it's like, we got the top 10 billionaires. If you want to be in this, just give us $1 billion. Then we got $10 billion right there.
Yeah. For a lot of my life, I thought that aliens showing up would make us at least drop things like money. But, you know, it's just going to be, it's not. There is no, the savior's got to be people getting together. And right now, that's impossible. So the savior for the future is like allowing
Santa Claus, man.
Yeah, like you got to like be able to listen to someone that you disagree with.
I think we're well beyond that. And they like that we're arguing over fucking abortion and shit. Like these rights that we've had for you know, 50 years, they're like, oh, let's just take away some of those rights. And then they'll argue about that shit again. And then we're off the radar. They'll stop talking about taxing the
rich. I'll talk more about cancel culture and critical race theory.
Yeah. Critical race theory. It's like, it doesn't even exist. And it's like, so many like local voters think that their children are in danger of believing that black people are equal.
They're going to teach my kids that white people are the bad guys. I'm not the bad guys. They're the bad guys.
It's like not even something that's implemented. It's like a PhD level theory. And also, white people are the bad guys. And I'm fine with that. That doesn't.
You only think that because you've been indoctrinated with critical race theory because you're afraid of being canceled by the woke mob.
Listen, I freely admit that white people are bad, and that's why I've had a privileged life, and it's fine. I get it. I'm still broke. I'd still like to take down the white people in charge. Does that make sense? Or no, that, I'm still indoctrinated. Yeah. No, everything I can think of is still just indoctrination. Well, let's wrap it up. What are your final thoughts on the Great Reset, I guess?
My final thoughts are, they don't actually give a shit about helping any of us, and they don't care if we die.
Well said, Willie.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's all getting into the who's who book, you know, like, hey, we put fluoride in the water to take care of your teeth, and peace, we're out. We helped you. It's just everything is a way to convince you that they're doing a good job. Grassroots is like going away with small businesses. Like, hopelessly, it feels impossible to fix anything. But, you know, there's always a chance that I think a consciousness shift would help us. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but
I think the boomers dying off and giving up their fucking positions in society will help. Because I think, like, even younger Republicans are like, no, climate change is real and it's going to fuck us too. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
They're more conservative because they hate online liberals as opposed to, like, I believe in business and climate change is a hoax.
Well, that's, yeah, that's hopeful. I can only hope that my father has saved up enough money that he can give some of it to me upon his untimely passing, and then I can pay rent for the rest of my life.
Because you're not going to own anything anymore.
Yeah, and I'll be happy. I'll be happy about it.
Yeah, you'll be free of ownership.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If you're a kid and you've got an idea for a renewable energy source, just don't sell it to Dyson or any of these companies. Just, like, make your own company and put them all out of business, man.
Then you can become a billionaire.
Yeah, and then you can call the shots, but I'll be dead by then. But, like, you know, at least put all these other guys out of business. Start up a new regime. All right, thanks for listening. We got to plug our... Oh, it's past. Never mind. We don't have to plug that. Steve, when does your podcast come out? Do you want to plug that at all?
Our podcast is on hiatus while we write a book. There are only so many hours in the day. And it turns out that writing a book is difficult and a lot of work. And it's even more difficult and even more work if you want the book to be decent, which we do. So we're pretty much focusing all of our efforts on just getting this mountain of research that we've compiled put into piles that seem to go together. And we're doing some interviews. We've talked to some of the movers and shakers behind the scenes of the Yacht Rock movement. And we're going to put a bunch of quotes from them in the book. It's going to be magnificent.
Would you just to see? Would you accept $1,000 to put my name in the first 10 pages?
Oh, absolutely!
Are you guys,
we're even going to put an acknowledgement section in the back. which we'll offer to you as a discount at a discounted rate.
Hey, shoot these interviews and then do a spin-off documentary.
Well, we've done most of them on Zoom, and we've told people that we're not going to use them as videos.
Big mistake, man. Big mistake. You want to be a billionaire, you got to start thinking like a billionaire. All right. Because there's a lot of people who made $1 billion off a documentary about music from the late 70s.
Oh, yeah. Like the studio musicians and such. Yeah, totally.
Okay. Thanks for being here, man. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We have a Discord. You can ask us questions. We answer those on the No Sci-Fi bonus episode. Remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.